the theme for our service today is Waymaker. And it was the song that we just sang. Just really how God is a way maker. He makes a way out of no way. He is a miracle worker. It's amazing the miracles that God has done. He keeps his promises. He keeps his covenants. He doesn't break them like we do, unfortunately. And he absolutely is light in the darkness of this crazy world. And so we celebrate that on Easter Sunday. God has always been a way maker, hasn't he? I mean, when you think about the Old Testament, you look back and you think, wow, remember when God's people were oppressed, enslaved? They were dealing with bitterness. They had no wealth. They had no army. They were stuck, and they cried out to God, and God was the miracle worker and brought them out of Egypt. But you know that moment, that all-important moment, when they looked behind them and they saw Pharaoh's army. And they looked in front of them and they saw the sea, and there was no way. There was no way. But God made a way. He was a way maker. He made a way through that Red Sea and helped his people go through the waters into new life. God has always been a way maker. And when we see the empty tomb, we are reminded that God is a way maker. That Jesus, who came as God in the flesh, God with us, that he lived his life and dealt with so much tragedy and so much pain and suffering, taking on the sin of this world, taking it upon himself even to the point of death. But that could not hold him back, because God raised him from the dead. And we celebrate that God is the way maker through the power of his Spirit to raise Jesus from the dead. Incredible. And you might say, well, Jeff, you know, lots of religions have a lot of myths, a lot of stories. Yeah, the resurrection, whatever. Well, let me help you. Let me remind you. The resurrection is what it's all about in many, many ways. And let me quote a scripture that Paul gave us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received on, and now on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. You know, the resurrection isn't just some myth that you know, it's just one of the Christian things that, yeah, you should probably believe it, but if you don't, that's okay too. Not at all. When you read Paul's passion, when he's reminding us about what the resurrection means, this needs to make us pause. And we not only need to believe in the resurrection, we need to take a stand on it. This is a belief that's a core belief of our faith, that God absolutely raised Jesus from the dead. We need to take our stand on it and hold firmly to it, even when our culture tells us, oh, it's just a myth, or there are many stories like that in history. He tells us that this is of first importance, once again giving you the gravity of how important the message of the resurrection is. And Jesus just didn't raise from the dead for no reason. It was for our sins, to pay the debt that our sinful behavior, that we owed God. Jesus paid that debt. And he was buried. It wasn't just that he fainted, just needed to splash a little water on his face. He just had a tough time, but no, he was buried. And then God raised him from the dead. These, my friends, are important truths to hold on to and to take your stand on in a world that tries to make it seem like it's not that big of a deal. Because many will say, there is no resurrection. And even in Paul's day, some people said that. But if we read further in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Has Paul made the point or what? This is an important truth to grasp, to hold on to take your stand on. The Bible is a unified story, and it culminates in many ways in what God did by raising Jesus from the dead. If we don't believe this, then what's the point of it all? If we don't believe this, then you know what? God's not powerful enough to overcome sin. He's not powerful enough to overcome death. God created creation, and it was good, as our friend Marty reminded us. It is a good creation. And God created it. Oh, yeah, but you know what? Sin can creep in there. Death can creep in. And actually, that's the end of the story. Are you serious? Do you really believe that? I know I don't. And what helps me to believe that is the resurrection. God absolutely is powerful enough to defeat sin and defeat the most powerful manifestation of sin, death. God can take care of that. Because if you take the resurrection out of our faith, it's like that old game of Jenga. Some of y'all kids, you ever play Jenga? You know, you pull that one out and all of it falls to the ground. You can't pull out the resurrection. If you pull out the resurrection, we don't even have a faith anymore. And I appreciate a quote that I read. You know, it said, take Christmas away. And in biblical terms, you lose two chapters at the front of Matthew and Luke, nothing else. Take Easter away, and you don't have a New Testament. You don't have a Christianity. Don't you dare let this world steal your faith in the resurrected Jesus. So look back at that empty tomb and be proud. Look back at that empty tomb and go, yeah, God did something powerful that we still celebrate to this day, that still matters to us to this day. We not only look back when it comes to Easter, we look forward too, don't we, brothers and sisters? We look forward. And I appreciate the song that we sang earlier. And this passage was read as the song was being sung, but I want to read it again. Let's continue looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and feel the passion of what Paul writes about looking ahead. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. And we who are living will also be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can look forward as well. We don't just look back to the empty tomb, we look forward because we know that one day our earthly body, we will say our last breath. And unfortunately, there are many people that have been saying their last breaths with this virus that is running rampant all over the world. And I hope that you are praying fervently for this virus to be eradicated, for a vaccine to be created. Let us not forget those who are mourning, those who have passed away. We need to have the concern and the compassion for people that are feeling this right now in a very real way. And as Christians, again, we one day will face death. We will be perhaps in a hospital bed somewhere, and we will have to be pondering what comes next. But when we take our stand and hold firmly to passages like this, we don't have to fear what death brings us. Because what the scriptures teach is that, yes, we will die, and there will be a period of time where the Bible says we're asleep or we're in paradise, where there is a state where we kind of are waiting for Jesus to make his triumphant return. And when he does, we will be resurrected. We will receive bodies that are way more powerful than the bodies we have now, way more properties. It'll be amazing. Our minds can't even conceive it all. It'll be the difference, the Bible says, between a seed, what it looks like, and ultimately the tree, what it looks like. Wow, what a difference. But from the seed came the tree. This body will die, but we will be resurrected, and it'll have new properties, but we'll still be recognizable. Unbelievable. That's the future that we have to look forward to. Death will not get the final say in our lives if we are in fact in Christ, if we are in fact indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. That is our faith. That is what we can look forward to. Don't let anyone take that away from you, Christian. Hold on to it. We look back to the empty tomb and we rejoice, and well we should. And we look forward to death in a way, not that we just need to say, oh, I want to die tomorrow. Perhaps there are things you want in life. Who knows? But we should not be afraid. We should not fear death. We should know that there is a resurrection to come. But what about the here and now? What about today? Does the resurrection have any bearing on us today? I believe it should. And I believe Paul felt the same way. And after talking about looking back to the empty tomb and looking ahead to what happens after we die, I'm grateful for Paul, because Paul reminded us, it's not just about going, hey, great, Jesus rose from the dead. Great. I can, you know, have a place in the new heavens and the new earth after I'm dead. Great. That's wonderful. The past is taken care of. The future's taken care of. I'm great. No, at the end of all these great and powerful ideas, look what Paul reminds us about. Look at this passage. At the end of the same chapter we've been reading. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I wanted to take a moment, because sometimes I think we forget. You know, we've been given this incredible promise, we have these truths that we can hold on to, not just so that we can bask in them and be so grateful for what God has done, as I'm sure we are, but guess what? God has done all this so that we, you and me, that we can be waymakers right here and right now for the craziness that's around us. Because God has given us water to go through in baptism, filled us with his Spirit, given us a new life so that he, in the here and now, we can go out and we can do his will on earth as it is in heaven, so that we can be his ambassadors. We can be his way makers. We can be his miracle workers, his light in the darkness for those that need it, right? So we've got work to do, brothers and sisters, and hopefully it's work that's joyful. It's not going to be in vain. We need to go out in this world and do something, and not only share the message of Jesus with our neighbors, which I hope we do, but let's expand our minds a little bit, because God didn't just do all of this just so that individuals can make it to the new heavens and the new earth. I think God had a bigger plan. God say, he's saving the whole cosmos, right? He's doing something. What Jesus did, that empty tomb, it didn't just affect individuals. God said, you know what? I made creation and it's good. And I'm not just going to throw it in the trash just because people have messed it up and sin has come in. No, I'm going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he shows us. He's like the first fruit. He's the one that shows us what God can do. He can elevate us above death. He can make a way through death so that we can live right now. Right now in our communities and bring his light to the crazy world. Bring the new creation to your world right now. God's doing something bigger than just individual lives. He's trying to bring a new heaven and a new earth. So let's live it now. Let's bring his will on the earth now. Why wait? Are you upset about poverty in this world? Racism? What about abortion? All of this craziness, dictators, genocide, human trafficking, mistreatment of the elderly. Do you hate it? Does it bother you? It bothers me. Well, you know what? Do something about it now. You've been resurrected. You don't have to wait until the new heavens and the new earth come after you've died, after you've resurrected. No. God wants us to live now. Live the resurrected life now. The power of Jesus is in you. His spirit is in you to live that life now. Bring God's will that's in heaven to the earth. Do it now. And I'm going to close with this thought. Marty even brought up a little bit of this in his message to us. He brought up the Lenten season. For many of you, you go, what in the world does that mean? Lent, that's the stuff that gets in my pockets, right? No, Lent is actually a part of the Christian calendar, okay? And Lent is marked by, it begins on something called Ash Wednesday. You're reminded that you go from ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And Ash Wednesday is the period between 40 years so before Easter. And so on that Ash Wednesday, people pray, they confess, they fast from things, okay? And it's a period of time to prepare oneself spiritually for Easter. But it's more of an introspective, confessing, fasting, that type of thing, giving stuff up. And in case you don't know this, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, some people, I had a conversation with somebody, they didn't realize that Mardi Gras is kind of connected to all this. Because if Wednesday, you got to give stuff up, you need to get fat on Tuesday, right? Party it up, live it up. So you've seen the images, right? Mardi Gras, New Orleans, people living it up. That's actually connected to a Christian. Isn't that crazy? People doing stuff Jesus would never have really done. But that's the craziness. So people party, party, party. And then Ash Wednesday, to get ready for Easter, they give stuff up. They're fasting. And all of it culminates in the Easter Sunday, right? But then think about this. We get Easter Sunday, which is great. But then, what about tomorrow? What you got going? What do you got going tomorrow, right? In a typical Monday, if we had a normal community life, we'd go to work. And why aren't we keeping the Easter celebration going? Why stop now? Why stop Sunday? Man, you got 40 days of Lent, you give stuff up, then you got Easter Sunday, and then you just, oh, that was great. I think we messed up. And I'm stealing this. This isn't even my idea, but man, I read it and it inspired me, and I'm gonna throw it your way, see if it means something to you. Here's a thought. We should be taking steps to celebrate Easter in creative new ways. This is our, as Christians, greatest festival. If Lent is a time to give things up, Easter ought to be a time to take things up. The 40 days of the Easter season between now and the Ascension ought to be a time to balance out Lent by taking something up, some new task or adventure, something wholesome, something fruitful, something outgoing and self-giving. It might bring something of Easter into your innermost life. It might help you wake up in a whole new way. And that's what Easter is all about. I want to encourage you. Don't just let Easter die today. Go out in the world. Maybe let something new birth in you. Take up a new hobby. Do something that you've been meaning to do that's good and wholesome. And do it for the reason that God is creating something new, that God can take something new and make something new, not only in Jesus, not only in the world, but even in your individual life. And I'm going to give you two chapters to look at this week. Look at Colossians 3, especially like 1 through 18, and Ephesians 5, 1 through 20. Read those two passages in light of what we've talked about today. And I hope that you can keep the Easter celebration going as we continue to celebrate the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and our light in the darkness. Let's go ahead and pray for the Lord's Supper. Father, we are grateful to look back to the empty tomb and celebrate. But Father, we know that wasn't just a miracle that you just decided to do just once, just to prove how powerful you were. No, you wanted it to mean something to us in the here and now. And I pray that we can remember Jesus and remember that he took on the evil in this world. He took on betrayal. He took on all of the sin and the greed that the world had to offer. He took it upon himself. And Father, nailed it to the cross. And we celebrate that. That there is no condemnation in Jesus. And I pray, Father, that we can celebrate his resurrection. That when we take the bread and we take the fruit of the vine, that, Father, we celebrate this, we declare this, and we hold firmly to this truth. And we know that he will come back. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.